Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think they played a little bit of a role in it. You know, again, I think, you know, throughout the whole offense, you know, we've had, you know, some guys being interchanged on the line because of injury. You know, we've had some guys, you know, stepping in our receiver room because of injury. Same with the quarterback position. You know, again, same with our tight end room early on in the year, you know. So, again, I mean, we've kind of been able, kind of been fighting that little injury bug a little bit, you know, early on, you know. But again, I mean, seeing that we're, you know, getting back healthy now, you know, we have all our guys back, you know, it should be fun.
Chicago Bears wide receiver Allen Robinson talking about the injury bug and getting over it. Want to tell you all, you can join Joe Ostrowski for the Miller Lite Top Draft Show on Tuesday from 6 to 10 at Old Tinley Pub in Tinley Park. Enjoy the broadcast. Enter for a chance to win Bears tickets and watch a live interview with Olin Krutz, brought to you by Miller Lite. Hold true. For some reason, Olin, they keep writing in this promo, former Chicago Bear. I think we got that part. It's
just Olin Krutz.
Yeah, get out and see Olin and Joe. Oh, that is going to be again. You know what? Tuesday night. That's right. I just read it. I want to make sure I get you out to the right night. You don't want to miss that. Lots of cold Miller Light as well. We are now going to go out to Soldier Field and welcome in our buddy Mark Grody. Mark, of course, our Chicago Bears beat reporter here at 670 The Score. Also, the voice of the Chicago Bears on the sidelines for every game. You can get the hometown call at our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780 105.9 on your FM dial. Mark will be there all afternoon along with Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer, and he is with us now. Mark, thank you so much. You know, we've gotten used the last couple weeks to worrying about these inactives, and I'm looking at them, and I realize there really wasn't much to worry about because the key guys that they needed to get back are now either on IR or they're all back.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. The only one maybe that, you know, has been active and no longer is this week would be Riley Ridley, the wide receiver. Everybody kind of wants to see what he's capable of out here, but he is inactive. Alex Bars, the offensive lineman, inactive today as well, although he's been put on alert, throughout this week to be ready as far as depth is concerned. And to that end, as far as the offensive line is concerned, I can tell you that I was told that Rashad Coward will indeed be the starter at right guard today over the injured Kyle Long.
All right, and there's one other one that I think Patrick Manley, our special teams expert, might note. Duke Shelley, the rookie, the fifth-round pick, I believe, was active earlier in the year. Kevin Tolliver had been inactive. We've now got Kevin Tolliver up and Duke Shelley down. I'm guessing that is as much because of special teams as well as the performance in the nickel where Buster Skrien has been really good.
I don't know the answer. Go ahead, Mark. Go ahead, Mark.
No, go ahead. Oh, yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I think that plays into it. I mean, we've seen that a couple of times with players this year being active or inactive based completely on special teams. Like you said, though, Tolliver was a guy who started a couple games last year that it seemed like he fell out of favor just a little bit to the point where obviously he has been inactive throughout this year. And Duke Shelley, although he hasn't been horrible or anything like that, I feel like that he hasn't been quite as good as they thought he would be in the prime time spot as of yet. But, yeah, it could have a lot to do with the special teams, as Patrick was alluding to.
Hey, Mark, Bilal Nichols is back, and everybody's curious, what does the club look like? Or is he even wearing one?
You know, it's really interesting. I just talked to Bilal Nichols, and what I noticed about the club that he's wearing is it's very small. Like Leonard Floyd had one that kind of engulfed his whole arm last year. His is just over the hand and a little bit of the wrist. And obviously it is a hand injury, so it's going to be a little bit different. It almost looks like the under part that a boxer might wear, like a thick Band-Aid on there. I mean, it's definitely a harder cast than just a Band-Aid. But it doesn't look like it's that big of a deal. It doesn't appear that it's going to be too inhibiting the way Leonard Floyd's was last year, because everybody kept comparing it to Leonard Floyd's. And even Bilal Nichols had said that he was getting advice from Leonard Floyd on how to deal with it. This thing isn't anything near what Leonard Floyd wore last year. So I get the feeling that it won't be as bad to deal with as he thought it was going to be, or as it would appear that it's going to be, just from what I saw and the brief conversation that I just had with him.
Hey, Grody, when you're around the team this week and you talk to that defense, and especially that front seven, what did they say the problem was with that Raiders run game? Was it just taking on their blocks, or were guys not hitting their run fits? And how excited are they that now that Bilal Nichols is back?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Bilal Nichols definitely played. I mean, it's almost like they had to have Bilal Nichols back this week with Akeem Hicks out. I think he would have been back probably anyway, but whatever doubt there was of him returning went away with Akeem Hicks getting the devastating injury news that he had. It's interesting, like, trying to find out from the defensive players this week what went wrong last week, because we always expect them to be at an absolute 10, and when they drop down to like a 4 or 5, everybody's kind of shocked and wondering what was happening. I guess the best answer I got this week was from Prince Amukamara, who said that they didn't have the swagger, which, you know, is not obviously giving you like any kind of mechanical answer, but that's odd, right, for this defense to not come out with swagger and to kind of get, and they admit it, like Prince said the words, they got hit in the mouth and they never recovered. So, I mean, if that's not going to motivate them, I don't know what will. It was like they were like this fast, powerful, intimidating defense was on their heels the entire time last week. And that's not flying in the Bears locker room. It's not flying with the defensive players. And all of them basically saying that it will change today.
Hey, Mark, the bye week is finally over and we get a game. Was there anything specifically discussed by the guys in the locker room that maybe they were working on to kind of right the ship?
Yeah, they weren't giving too many specifics. I mean, the one area, Patrick, of, you know, semi-specifics this week, because there was a lot of attention on it, and that is the offensive line. I mean, we know the personnel change with Kyle Long out and Rashad Howard in, but it's more everybody trying to get an answer from Harry Heistand, who was available to us this week, and from the players themselves, what is going on with the offensive line, and specifically with the run game. And, you know, it felt like what Coach Heistand was saying was back to the basics. The biggest thing they were saying was stay on your block throughout the entire play, and not just three quarters of it, not 90% of it, but the entire time, and just win your individual one-on-one blocks, which in a lot of cases they simply haven't been doing this year. And it's a prideful bunch. It's a talented group of offensive linemen, as we know from last year, and for whatever reason hasn't come together. Charles Leno Jr. with a lot of penalties, he struggled this year as well. So I think that this is going to be a group today that is going to, like, we talk about the defense, like it not flying, not being as good as they usually are. This is an angry group of offensive linemen that knows that they're good and just hasn't been able to put it together this year.
Mark, we know you got to get off to work. It looks like it's a beautiful day out there. Eddie Pinheiro no longer on the injury list. Anything with the conditions to be concerned about? Fields in good shape? Any wind out there right now?
A little bit of wind, Hub. Nothing terrible. We know that can change minute to minute. There is, for whatever it's worth, there is absolutely no sunshine out here. It feels like it's getting cooler by the minute. It's certainly not cold out here, but it ain't getting any warmer. I did talk to Pinheiro. A couple things on him. He will be back on kickoff today. That is confirmed right out of his mouth to me. And he was at Soldier Field earlier this week practicing. He said he was out here for about 2 hours kicking and getting to know the wind patterns. And he admits this is as complicated of a field or a stadium in which to kick as he's ever been in. So he said that the Soldier Field work did him a lot of good. One thing that he pointed out unprompted too was that it's brand new turf today, that they put in brand new grass out here. He noticed it and said it felt really comfortable something that he noticed right away. So that obviously means something from his standpoint as well.
Gotta love those kickers. Never noticed comfortable turf before, but obviously
the winter is coming.
Yeah, he's feeling it in his feet. Mark, thank you very much. Good luck on the call today. Have a great broadcast. That is our very own Mark Grody. Again, you can hear him with the hometown call at our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780, 105.9 on your FM dial. Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer, Mark Grody will bring you Bears Saints. You can go there at 3:20 when we sign off here, immediately following the final gun. You want to get right back here at 670 The Score for James Big Cat Williams and myself in the postgame. And we are out and about today at Connie's Pizza on the near south side, 2273 South Archer, right off of Clybourne. We'll be watching the game here and doing postgame from here. Connie's also has a free shuttle to and from Soldier Field or all the UC for all games there. And so if you're on your way to the game, you want to stop by for a quick brew or pizza here, come in and see us. We'd love to have you join us. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. We're going to check in with Dan Pompey. In just a little while. We'll be taking your phone calls. Plenty of pregame left. A quick commercial break here, and then we're back with more at The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fun, but anytime you get a chance to reset and get away, man, you have to do that. You know, you can't harp yourself and be mad during the whole bye week and miss the entire bye week thinking about a loss that you can't fix. So you just got to continue getting better, man, and take it one game at a time. And New Orleans is up next.
That's HaHa Clinton Dix talking about the New Orleans Saints. That's where the Bears' focus will be today. That's where our focus has been. With the Sportsbook and Ameristar pregame show with Patrick Manley and Olin Krutz, I'm Hub Arkish. Visit Ameristar's new sportsbook in East Chicago. I want to give a thanks again to our outstanding crew. Adam Staszynski with us every week. He's back in the studio. Chris Dickens is producing here on site for us. Marshawn Robinson is the guy who's got us on the air. Our engineer is spinning the dials. Our thanks to the guys from promotions, Cooper Kaplan, Greg Rinaldi. They're taking care of all of our guests here at Connie's Pizza as we were out and about at 2273 South Archer. They've got 50-cent wings. They've got specials on craft beers in the new brew pub. Come on out if you're on the way to the game. There's a free shuttle to and free from the game. We're going to be here for post-game as well with James Big Cat Williams. And, you know, guys, as we get ready, we're about an hour away from kickoff now. I mentioned this before, and then we had to go to break. You've had the bye week now. We've all been puzzled the first 4 or 5 weeks. Where is the run game? You made a big commitment. You know, you trade up to draft David Montgomery. Your first free agent signing was Mike Davis. You shipped Jordan Howard out of town. It's been non-existent. You got changes on the offensive line now. I would think that if you cannot come out today and find a running game, then it is fair to really start to worry about this over the course of the season as opposed to just something that they're still trying to maybe get comfortable with.
Well, and I think it's fair to worry about it already, right? And it's definitely going to be fair to worry about it today. The Saints are not a team you just run the ball on, Pat. So, look, they need to win each game and not worry about how they win it. Coach Nagy needs to – don't force things today, okay? This is – if this team decides with their front, you know, with Malcolm Brown and Rankins and Onyemata and Cameron Jordan and Davenport and their linebacker play, Alonzo and Davis, if they decide you're not running the ball, you're not going to run the ball today. So use your pass game as an extension of your run game. Do draws. Don't turn the ball over. Let your defense – get you good field positions. Let them punt it to Tariq Cohen. Put you in positions to win this game. Find a way to win a game. I think, Pat, the worst thing you can do with this style of offense against this defense is force the running game.
Yeah, yes, I agree. And the defense over there is pretty good. And I got a couple stats here about them. They only blitz 22.6% of the time, which means Mitch isn't going to get a whole bunch of, you know, first, second, third down blitzes coming at him. So it's going to be what's in front of him. It's going to happen. He's going to see it. So like you said, that make that passing game an extension of the run. But I think this game comes down to Mitch Trubisky playing an efficient game, knowing where to go with the ball. And I don't think it's going to be Allen Robinson because Marshawn Lattimore is going to be all over him. But it's going to be those other receivers. You know, the 2, 3, and 4 receiver on the roster, those are the guys that are going to have to win the game. But this defense is really good up front. You know, they get all their pressure. I think it's 80% of their pressure comes from the 4D linemen. And these guys up front know how to get after the passer.
You know, they are. It's been a very good defense. It's the reason that the Saints are 5-1 since Drew Brees went down. And yet there is a little bit of bend but not break to it. I mean, you know, they're 10th in total defense. They're just average against the run, 14th total rushing, 17th in average gain per rush allowed. They're a little better than that against the pass, 12th, but they will give up big pass plays, 21st in average gain per pass. They don't pick the ball off a whole bunch. They're in the bottom third of the league at that. The one thing that they do well, as a matter of fact, the only category that they're really top 10 in is that pass rush. They are 6th in the league in quarterback sack percentage. Even scoring-wise, they're giving up 20 points a game. So you can do some things against this defense, but what they have to do is take care of the football. That is where New Orleans, again, is in the top 5 in the NFL.
Yeah, definitely turnovers. And like we talked about with this kind of game, right, special teams is going to play a big role today. And excited to see what Cordell Patterson and, Tariq Cohen do out there. Look, this defense held Leonard Fournette and they held Ezekiel Elliott. They held them, you know, they didn't let them run the ball either on them. So this defense, if they decide, those are two very, very good running backs, two very, very good running teams. And this New Orleans Saints defense just said, look, you're not going to run the ball today. We're going to make the quarterback beat us. And they won that game in Jacksonville 13-6. And they beat the Cowboys 12-10, right? And I know that they play the Cowboys in New Orleans. And when that defense is in that dome, that's a whole nother animal that is of an offensive lineman you do not want to deal with. But the Bears are at home today. The home crowd gives their D-line the advantage against the Saints' offensive line. And like we talked about, Pat, just find a way to win this game today. By not, Hub said, don't turn the ball over. You always talk about special teams. And if the run game, to me, today's the kind of day where the run game comes later.
Yeah.
Where you get 1 yard, but you stay on track. You know, you get 2 or 3 yards early, but later on in the game, when you have a lead, then you start shoving it down their throat a little bit more.
Yeah, I want to speak a little bit on the special teams too, because this unit that Saints have, it's very, very good, and they have weapons at the specialist position, especially Thomas Morstead, who might be one of the best, if not the best punter in the NFL. So he's great at just taking out the returner. He moves the ball all over the field, has terrific hang time. So I don't expect Tariq Cohen to really get any returns at all just because of the hang time and how good of a punter he is. And then I think a lot of us have seen Will Lutz hit the game winner earlier in the year. He's the kicker. He's very, very good, and he's got a strong leg. So I don't see Cordero Patterson with many returns potentially. Chris Tabor is allowing him to bring it out, but he does hit a nice deep ball with some good hang time, which your internal clock makes it so you shouldn't take it out, but they've been taking chances because they want to get the ball in his hand more. But this is going to be a great special teams matchup, and you know, as we were saying, it's going to be a close game. They need something to go right. You know, Pat O'Donnell has got to have a good game. They got a great returner in Deontay Harris. He's a rookie who is the all-time leading returner in Division II history. Small little guy, little slight of size, but has that 0-60 speed. Just get up and go. He's got great vision. So they got a lot of weapons on that side of the ball.
I just can't believe that Drew Brees has been hurt for 4 games. And they have 4 wins.
I know, right?
I mean, that is an amazing stat in itself for the New Orleans Saints. It tells you just how good this team is playing right now. And it makes you think that even though Kamara and Cook are out, they think they can win.
Yeah.
You know, with that defense and the way they've been winning, it's not like they've been scoring a ton of points anyway, right?
Well, you know, four of those wins, the first one without Drew Brees, they go into Seattle.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no tougher place to
win.
That
was impressive.
Yeah, I mean, they've gone on the road and beaten good
football
teams.
And I think they had special team touchdowns in that game.
Yes.
I think they did.
Harris,
I'd have to
did.
Go back and look at it. I think they had some turnovers, but you're right, Hub. I mean, there's no harder place in the league to walk into and try to steal a game. So I know that we were talking about earlier that you're excited about Kamara and Cook being out, but I don't think the Saints care. I think they believe with the team they've built, I think they can go anywhere and win games.
And part of that building block is the O-line. You know, I don't think we've talked enough about them, of how good they are. They, you know, we were talking before the show that I'm impressed by them just because they seem like they're playing together, unlike the Bears. Like, they always have one little mistake here or there. They don't. They're all on the same page. Their technique is sound, and they're all very high-drafted players. And they're playing great and keeping that pocket clean, and that's helped Teddy Bridgewater out a lot.
Well, the other thing that could be and maybe needs to be the great equalizer for the Bears here, because, again, I'm not pretending that the Bears should be afraid of the Saints. As a matter of fact, the Saints have got to be looking at the Bears' defense, and down in New Orleans they're doing the pregame saying, what are we going to do against this defense?
Right. Yeah.
The Saints are actually 10th in the league in turnover takeaway at +2, and that's actually more because they don't give the ball up. They've only got 5 turnovers. The Bears are tied for 3rd right now at +6. They've got 10 takeaways. You know, we talked all during the offseason, don't expect another year like last year. The 36 takeaways was otherworldly. They're on pace for 31. I mean, you know,
right.
They're not that far behind right now. But what the Bears do have on their defense that would probably be an edge over the Saints is more, quote, playmakers. As good as the Saints defense is, particularly up front, they don't have a Khalil Mack or an Eddie Jackson. I mean, you know, even Marshawn Lattimore may be a little better in coverage, but isn't going to pick the ball off as much as Kyle Fuller and make plays. And so as much as we're focused on waiting for this offense, this is a game where if the Bears defense, which scored for you 6 times last year, can make a couple big plays, the more I look at this, the more I'm thinking that could be the difference in this football game.
Yeah, and I bet you Eddie Jackson's licking his chops. You know, it's his turn to get the interception. And I said it earlier in the show, I want to see if Chuck Pagano will bring some pressure, because a lot of people haven't brought pressure against Teddy Bridgewater yet, at least in the last 2 games. And, you know, he's not Drew Brees, but he still runs the offense pretty efficient, and Sean Payton does a great job of getting the ball out of his hands quickly. But I want to see a little pressure and see if they can dial up something to, you know, get home and maybe cause those interceptions or turnovers.
Yeah, and from playing the short time I did for Sean Payton, he always starts with protection. So it's where he starts his whole plan, and he's going to line guys on the line outside of Khalil Mack. He told me that Jared Allen told him that that's the hardest thing to deal with. So when he goes against great pass rushers, that's what he does. And they're going to max protect when they get in scoring range and try to throw it deep to Ginn or Michael Thomas, and the Bears just have to be ready for that. And the Bears, one big advantage in every home game that they won this year has been their D-line harassing that quarterback relentlessly with the crowd noise. And they are +6 this year in turnover margin, like Hub just mentioned. And so that is huge in this game, the turnover battle, because Coach Nagy can talk to me all he wants about the O-line and the run game, and I will argue with him till I'm red in the face that they lost that game because of those two interceptions that Chase Daniel threw in London. That's really why they lost that game.
Well, and the other thing, Olin, the point you just make, they are always great in protection. And, yeah, Teron Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk, one of the best pairs of tackles in the league. But Payton has always – this is why he was so anxious, Patrick, to get Olin Krutz out of Chicago. He has always built that offensive line from the inside out. I mean, the best guards in football have always been in New Orleans. You look at Jari Evans and Carl Nix, and then they brought in – they made the trade with the kid from New Orleans. I forget which one it was now. At center, you know, Max Unger. And so Andres Pete is really good, but they are not quite as stout inside as they have been.
Yeah.
And that's where Olin, I don't know if this is what you were thinking, but you mentioned Roy Robertson Harris earlier. Yep. When you go back and look at some of the big plays he's made, a lot of them have been with him lining up inside over the nose and whatever. And Eddie Goldman is right now, you know, one of the top nose tackles in the game. And so if the Bears can collapse that, I wouldn't be too surprised either to see them playing some games up there and try and maybe loop Khalil Mack inside or Leonard Floyd inside once in a while. And this is what we know Chuck Pagano does like to do, is play with his blitzes and his stunts. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if maybe they can get something done that way.
Yeah, and I want to see Roy Robertson Harris against Andres Pete. I think Andres Pete will struggle against him in that spot. I think Larry Warford is a pretty good right guard. McCoy has done a nice job at center. I just think Pete is the weakness on third down, and I think that's where you put Roy Robertson Harris. You put him there. I think he'll have a lot of time. Now, to point to Roy Robertson Harris is this. He's got to play the run better against power running teams. He's got to play the run good today. He's got to stop swimming away from the double team because he leaves holes wide open over there when he does. He's got to sit in there and anchor against that double team and keep guys off of Roquan. A lot of Roquan struggles last week where the D tackles were in his lap.
There's no doubt about that. And then the other player I want to see is Leonard Floyd step up a little bit. You know, he had a great game against the Green Bay Packers in week 1. He's played well this year, but when you're drafted that high, I want to see some more splash plays. And, you know, with Akeem Hicks going out and being that splash player kind of guy that can, you know, make that, that pressure, you know, up the middle and get that sack, I want to see Leonard Floyd take that step and be that complement to Khalil Mack that we all want to see.
Well, one other big story up at Hallis Hall this week, and he's not a real talkative guy. He's certainly not boastful or boisterous, but in his own quiet way, Khalil Mack made it pretty clear that nobody was unhappier about what happened in London than he was. And there's even been some talk, nothing that I can point to or quote or guarantee about possibly some new wrinkles added in the pass rush to free up Mack even more, to get him a few free runs. And I think they feel that if he can make a couple splash plays early, that maybe that's how they'll try and cover a little bit for the loss of Akeem Hicks.
Right. And that was one of the most disappointing things about the Raiders game once Akeem Hicks went down, Pat. You just mentioned it was Leonard Floyd, mm-hmm. that he didn't show up at all anymore. And I know that their outside linebacker coach, Monachino, I think I said his name right, Joniak has corrected me 9 times now, said that the line is sliding his way, and that's – it's all fine. You just got to go out there and make plays when there's so much attention being paid to the guy on the other side, Pat. And it's not like you're a veteran league minimum. You're a top 10 pick.
Exactly.
You're a top 10 pick out there yourself, and you have to make plays eventually.
Yeah, and then I also want to know how that meeting room was last week after watching that Raiders tape. You know, I've been in rooms with you guys in the O-line room and you didn't have a great game, and it's a long week, and you got to do some soul searching, and then you just can't wait to get back out there to put that new tape on there on Monday morning when you come in to watch. So I'm excited to see how this D-line reacts, because they do have the good players. They just got outmatched and outmanned against the Raiders, but good test against the Saints, and we're going to see if they can come back and redeem themselves.
Bottom of the hour was brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Every Sunday with the Chicago Wolves, Little Debbie Sunday, kids receive a giveaway at the door and get player autographs after the game. The Wolves host Milwaukee today at 3 p.m., just about a half hour from now. For tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. We are going to take a very quick break here. On the other side, our buddy Dan Pompey joins us on the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show with Patrick Manley and Olin Krutz. I'm Hub Arkish. Visit Ameristar's new Sportsbook in East Chicago. We are back in just a moment.
I do sense it. I do. I think that we had the practice yesterday we had was a really good vibe to it, you know. And that doesn't surprise me based off of who our guys are, but our guys are competitors, not just the defense, but our defense does. They're not happy with how things went down over there in London. So, but we can't sit there and talk about it. It's got to be actions, and we got to show it by what we do on Sunday.
Chicago Bears head coach Matt Nagy talking about getting ready for the New Orleans Saints. Today, this segment is brought to you by Subway. Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Subway, make it what you want. That's at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. It is now my pleasure to welcome in our buddy Dan Pompey, who joins us every week here on the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show. And Dan, welcome to the show. This is probably as big a game as we've seen for the Bears so far this season. We're, about 45 minutes from kick right now. Maybe just start with your early thoughts on what this one means with the Saints in town.
Yeah, it's good to be with you guys today. I do think it's a big game for the Bears. I think every game is big for them now. They're in a place where, okay, they're coming off a big loss. They're coming off a bye. And I think they've got a lot to prove, not only to the Saints and the rest of the NFL, but also to themselves at this point. I think they're struggling to find their identity. They're going to have to learn to kind of recreate themselves on defense without Akeem Hicks. They've got some lineup changes on offense with Mitch coming back, with Kyle Long out, and I'm assuming Rashad Coward replacing him, Taylor Gabriel coming back. So, it's interesting. You know, I think the Bears are a little difficult to gauge at this point, where they are and who they're going to be out there today. And, of course, the Saints are, too, with all the moving pieces they've got going on.
Dan, the Bears lost to Akeem Hicks last week for possibly the season. and you were talking about trying to figure out this team. What is this defense going to be like without Akeem Hicks? What do you see them being like?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a really big loss. I think it's probably an underrated loss. I don't know that – I haven't seen a lot of talk about it or heard a lot of talk about it. And, you know, I just think he's a difference maker. He tilts the field. He makes players around him better. And, you know, they've struggled to get after the passer even with him. You know, now they've basically got a one-man pass rush. You know, unless Leonard Floyd – kind of goes back to what he was in the first game of the season, because there really isn't much else there to get after Teddy Bridgewater today. So I think it's big. I think it's big in a run game too, obviously. You know, I think it makes a different way of for Sean Payton to approach the Bears defense. It changes their game plan without a doubt, because when Hicks is in there, you have to, as an offensive game planner and play caller, make concessions and do things differently. They don't have to do that now. So I think it's a really, really big deal, Pat.
Hey, Dan, we were talking off air about pretty impressive the way the Bears made the whole Roquan Smith story just kind of disappear for a while. And he didn't look very good in London playing Oakland after everything he went through during that week. You know, we'll all be watching him today, but what do you expect to see him out of today? And if you don't, what do you think the Bears' options are there?
Yeah, I don't know what to expect out of him. I would, you know, I'm guessing that he's going to get back to what he was, and I'm sure that's what the Bears are counting on prior to, you know, his little hiccup there. But, you know, did not play a good game, and if this is something that's going to continue – you know, they have to look at options, and you know, I don't know if they've got great options. You know, would they bench him and put Kwiatkowski in there for him? You know, I don't know. I mean, he played so well, as you guys well know, early in the season. I mean, all the way until the game that he missed. It was the Minnesota game he missed, right, in Minnesota. You know, I think being without him or being with a diminished version of him is another, you know, it's not far from what we talked about with Hicks. It's a big blow to the defense. So I think they have to give him opportunities, and they have to hope that he's going to get back to where he is. And, you know, I'm sure they know much more than we do in terms of what should be expected from Roquan today.
Dan, one of the things that struck me at Hallis Hall this week was visiting with Mitch Trubisky on Wednesday, and he seemed different somehow. And Olin was talking earlier about, you know, the bye week, sometimes it gives you a chance to take a step back and relax a little bit. But he definitely seemed less scripted, less almost shackled, if you want, very comfortable, looking forward to the football game. Assuming that he's 90% or better, Where are we at? I mean, how much longer is there left before this kid has got to start to do the things he was drafted to do, and you have to be concerned about it?
Today, you know, I think it's got to happen today. You know, he's really had. I mean, he's had one good game this season, and that was against one of the worst teams in the league, a team that, you know, probably have the second pick in the draft. So. You know, they need him to step up, and they need him to be consistent. It's not a, you know, one game on, one game off thing. You know, I'm not saying that if he doesn't play well, you bench him. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying they need him. And you know, if they're going to feel good about him moving forward after this season, he needs to reach a level of consistency for the rest of the season where he's not having these off games and everyone's making excuses for him, and you know it's really not Mitch's fault. And you know it's time. It's the third season. It's a big game. Need to step up.
All right, Dan. The Saints lose Drew Brees, one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history. How the heck are they still winning games? I mean, when you lose a guy like that, you expect the team to really struggle, but they're not.
Well, it's a great question. You know, there's a few different factors there, Pat. First of all, they've got one of the best defenses in the league. And, you know, you talk about Mitch, the Bears, this is the best defense the Bears have gone against this year. So I know a lot of the focus has been on the other side of the ball and you know, what the Saints are bringing offensively, what we're talking about right now. But, you know, good luck against that defense because they are something. And then, you know, in addition to that, of course, they have had the great running game and the short passing game with Alvin Kamara. They will not have that today as much, although they still can run the ball without him, I think. You know, they've got more than one good back with Murray. And the other thing, you know, I talked with Sean Payton about this a little bit ago, and he was telling, you know, when Breeze went out, a couple things happened. The first is, you know, they tweaked their offense a little bit. They went back and looked at every one of Teddy Bridgewater's throws from 2015, which is a long time ago, but that was the last time he was a regular starter in the league. And they tried to feature things that he does really well. And, you know, as a result, they feel like he's gotten into a little decent rhythm and that he's improved on things, even sometimes when maybe the results haven't always been there for various reasons, but he's doing things better. And, you know, the other thing that happened to this offense, cause I think, according to what Sean Payton told me, you know, the second, third week of the season, they went out to the West Coast for two games, and they decided to stay out there. They stayed in Seattle after playing the Rams. And he felt like that was the best thing that could have happened to this team because that was when they lost Breeze. And they went out there, and they kind of came together as a team, and they really focused. They were able to focus on kind of reinventing themselves at that point and coming together and fighting against all the odds that they were facing. And, you know, now they're at another juncture that it's not too unsimilar to that, where they're going to be without Kamara for a while. They're also without Jared Cook, which, you know, to me really kind of amplifies the loss of Kamara because, you know, if you had lost Kamara, at least you were going to say, well, look, we could throw it to Cook. We've got another offensive weapon there who did some good things just last week, but now he's out as well. So that leaves, you know, Michael Thomas and Ted Ginn as the big guns in this offense and the guys that the Bears really have to concentrate on today with their defense if they're going to win this game.
Dan, you look at the Bears' side of it and their defense. You know, again, New Orleans is better than what we expect. I would think that there would be an advantage in what you just said. Michael Thomas, one of the best receivers in the NFL, but he's not necessarily a home run hitter. And while Ted Ginn can be, that's pretty much his game is speed. You know, we tend to forget that the Bears have got, what, two first-team All-Pros in the secondary. And, you know, with these injuries, Kamara is their second-leading receiver. And it isn't Breeze, it's Bridgewater. It feels like it should set up pretty well for the Bears' defense.
Well, yeah, I mean, because they're dealing with limited resources on offense, I think they can kind of load up against, you know, the big play with Ginn, and then obviously the catch machine with Thomas. Thomas leads the NFL in receptions. He's second in receiving yards, and so far he's accounted for 47% of their offense. And you know, he's really stepped up in the absence of Breeze. I talked with him quite about a bit about that for a story I did on The Athletic, and you know, he kind of took that as a little bit of a challenge because he felt like a lot of people said, well, you know, Breeze is the guy who makes his receivers, which there's an element of truth to that. But, you know, this guy's been a impact player without Drew Breeze as well. And, you know, if the Saints are going to do what they want to do today, he's going to have to be an impact player today.
Hey, Dan, so how do the Bears win this game at Soldier Field?
Well, you know, I think offensively, Owen, you know, they've got to kind of simplify things. You know, they have to kind of go back to being just a simple offense and maybe trying to go back to scratch a little bit and say, look, everything we've done really has not worked. And they have to try to go back to running the ball. I don't know if they can do it, frankly. You know, we haven't seen the evidence they can, but we've seen very little evidence that they can win throwing the ball either. So, you know, obviously their formula is to play good defense, and I think what they have to do today is not lose the game. You know, they have to go out and understand you're going against a team that's going to be aggressive that is going to be well coached and is not going to beat themselves. So it's important that the Bears don't do the same.
Dan, I got one more question for you. It's a little off subject, but it has to deal with the Bears. You wrote an article about Lance Briggs and his case for the Hall of Fame. One is, give me that a little bit. What's the gist in there? And then when are you going to be writing the one about Olin Krutz over here to my right?
I actually wrote one about Olin earlier this year.
You wrote it already.
Oh, I didn't read it.
It didn't go over well.
Let me Google that real quick. I'll read it during the break.
Olin was the only guy who commented at the bottom of it, too. He liked it. But Lance is up for the first time this year.
Retweet.
And, he's got a very interesting case, as you guys well know. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it, but he, all three of you. But, you know, the interesting thing with him is he's kind of got two things going against him, I think. The first is that he played in Brian Urlacher's shadow, and the second is that he was an off-the-ball linebacker. And off-the-ball linebackers don't get much love from the Hall of Fame. In the last 35 years, the only guy who played the last 35 years has been inducted is Derrick Brooks. So, as an outside linebacker, I should say. So, he's got those two things, but he's got a lot going for him, including the fact that he was the very best, I think, of all the outside linebackers who played in a 4-3 during much of his career. You know, certainly once Brooks slowed down in 2008 and then retired, you know, Lance was kind of a one of a kind. I mean, for the story I did, you know, Aaron Rodgers was effusive. I talked to Aaron about him, and he was effusive about Briggs thinking he was a Hall of Famer. Jerry Angelo said he thought he was the best short yardage linebacker he ever saw. And, I know that I'm pretty certain that you guys feel pretty strongly about him, probably all three of you as well.
Dan, we're going to have to cut you loose and have to let Olin go as well. Before we let you go, we picks every week. I think I know where you're going with this one, but we're going to let you put your name on it. What do you think happens out there today?
Yeah, I think it's a tough game to call because of all the, as I said earlier, all the moving parts and the players who are missing, and we really don't know how both teams are going to respond. But I've got the Saints winning this one. You know, I find them to be a very resilient, resourceful, well-coached, battle-tested team, whereas the Bears really have not been that yet. So I've got them winning a close one, maybe 2016.
All righty. You take care, Dan. We will hope you're wrong. I'm sure you do, too. So you got to call them like you see them. I got stuck because I have to, you know, we've got early press deadlines, and I had to do mine Tuesday, and I did pick the Saints before I knew Kamara was out. So Patrick and I are going to go at this a little bit later. But thank you so much for your time today. Enjoy the ball game. We will talk to Dan Pompey again next week and every week before every Bears game. Olin Krutz also has to move on for his television duties over at NBC Sports Chicago. But Patrick and I have got another 20 minutes or so in us for you to wrap up this Ameristar Sportsbook, I should say Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show. Of course, it features Patrick Manley and Olin Krutz. I'm Hub Arkish. And you want to visit Ameristar's new sportsbook in East Chicago every chance you get. We'll take this quick break, and then we're back with more at The Score.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.